Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners. Welcome to the Week 16 Championship Edition of the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. As always, I'm your host, Lance Goodman from NFLExporter.com, and I am very proud to tell you today I am a champion once again. Go ahead and put me down in the record books. If you recall this time last year, the message was the same, and I think that's most important for you fantasy owners out there to know that I am an expert analyst for NFL and fantasy football, and I can claim to hold true to that because I bring championships home every single year. And no discredit to anyone else. I know a ton of owners out there just love fantasy football, have a ton of family members, friends, and colleagues, and are in various leagues. But each year, I'm in no more than four leagues. I try to make sure that my championships are legit. Again, not taking credit away from any owners out there, but if you're in 45 leagues and you bring home one championship, I'm certainly going to look at you a bit sideways. But most importantly, let me say congratulations to everybody out there who won a championship this year. Great job. If you were with us on the Facebook page, if you were with us on Twitter since July when we started fantasy football training camp, you know all the work that went into it. We broke down every single position from every aspect, angle, perspective that you could possibly imagine. We did mock drafts. We did everything possible to give owners an opportunity to be able to cash in and at this time of year win a championship. And that was the goal from day one over on the Facebook page, which I'm shouting out right now. We're close to 2,500 fantasy football owners over on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. And that was our goal from day one, was to make sure that when the season was over, we had a page flooded, full of champions, full of trophies, full of rings. And so we're certainly looking forward to starting that celebration after tonight's big Monday night football game between the Denver Broncos and the Cincinnati Bengals. And so, man, we got a great show lined up for you. As always, the call-in number is 626-213-5762. Don't forget to get with us on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. You can also follow on Twitter at NFL Exporter. And, of course, the official home, the official hub, the main tool that is utilized weekly by fantasy owners is NFLExporter.com. That website is flipped every Thursday at Come On for our Thursday edition, which is the weekly preview to get owners set for their matchups each and every week. And the spelling for Facebook, the spelling for Twitter, and for the website is NFLExporter. Once again, I am glad to be joining you today. As in the champion, was able to wrap up business. I had one left in the chamber tonight with Brandon McManus, the kicker for the Denver Broncos, but that is going to be icing on the cake as the title has already been brought home. We're just waiting for that game to wrap up tonight so we can officially get that in hand and get the public announcement. All right, look, real quick, let's run through our top 10 fantasy studs and players of Week 16. It was a crazy week around the NFL where there were certainly a lot of huge numbers, but as you all know, and to no surprise, and I was able to make some adjustments myself. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but how it is, like every year, I can think back to last year, this time of year, and that's what ultimately really drove home the point of how I don't want to say not important it is, but at the quarterback position, we know that in the past, the likes of Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, this year Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, and rightfully so, those guys putting up huge numbers, but those quarterbacks taken in the first round, and after last year, seeing the top-notch quarterbacks, the way that they kind of dudded out, did not perform at a high level, and particularly in your playoff rounds, that really had me come away from the importance of the quarterback position, understand the depth at the position, and understand that there's a lot of games late in the season where your studs are not going to perform well due to various reasons. And to me, that's what's most important. It's not just about why I lost this week or my players didn't perform well. What's important is that you know why you lost this week, why your players didn't perform well, and that's what's going to help you out in the long run. So, look, let's look at our top 10 scores from Week 16. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll start breaking down position by position your studs and duds for Week 16, who either did or did not get the job done for you. Your number one score this week for fantasy football was actually not a player. It was a unit. We are talking about the Arizona Cardinals defense special teams. My Lord, I had to send a Twitter message out yesterday and asked to send some help out to Aaron Rodgers in the desert. I mean, that guy got swarmed, ate alive. The Cardinals defense, they just turn it up a notch out in the desert, and they just ate him alive yesterday. They sacked him 8 times, 3 forced fumbles, an interception, 2 touchdowns returned, two fumbles returned for a touchdown. That was good for 35 standard points in fantasy football. For you to be able to get that type of production on the back end of your lineup, that is absolutely a huge boost. And that was something that we talked about throughout the course of the fantasy season, is making sure that you've got the bottom end of your lineup secure. That means a good defense, special teams, a good kicker, you know, those 25 to 30 potential 40 points each week in your lineup certainly does wonders and can help your lineup out a ton on the back end. And I tell you, that Arizona Cardinals defense, it is certainly a trend and pattern. It is well established by now. You go out to the desert, you need to be very careful. That defense is electric out in the desert. Great for owners who have them throughout the course of the year, a steady play, feeling very confident in what they can do for you. And we'll see how things shake out tonight by the Broncos, but I would not be surprised to see the Cardinals jump over Denver to end up being the top-ranked fantasy defense coming into the last week of the season. Number two, Kirk Cousins, quarterback, Washington Redskins. This guy is on fire. You're talking about 4 touchdowns the week before against the Buffalo Bills. Comes right back on the road at Philadelphia, 365 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, was absolutely flawless. And what a great late waiver wire pickup, a fill-in. We know some of quarterbacks had some bad matchups, but Kirk Cousins has really taken it up a couple of notches in his last 2 weeks at home against Buffalo, on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles. If you played him, what a pleasant surprise he was this week. Nobody, absolutely nobody, seen 365 yards and 4 touchdowns coming from Kirk Cousins. What a way to get your week started on Saturday Night Football if you didn't have anybody going on Thursday, which in that one, there weren't any numbers that really just leaped off the page at you like these players that we're going through here. Coming in tied for number three, and these are three players all in the same game. I had two of these guys going myself. Certainly, we're talking about Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, was able to fight off that foot injury, and I think that, you know, with him potentially knowing that that could have been his last game as the New Orleans Saints playing at home in the Superdome, could be the end of the Sean Payton era. I think that is really what pushed Brees to play, and he just went out and torched the Jacksonville Jaguars secondary, made it look real easy. In a blink of an eye, the Saints were up 21-0, and 412 yards, 3 TDs for Drew Brees, another guy who's been the money for you. If you look at what he did last Monday night against Detroit, you look at what he did this week, those are the type of numbers that are going to bring championships home. You need guys to be money for you in the championship rounds, and certainly Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, 2 quarterbacks in weeks 15 and 16, without question, got the job done for your team. Next, tied with 28 points. How about running back Tim Hightower in New Orleans Saints? I tell you, I was able to pick him up off the waiver wire, and I know many, many of us on the Facebook page were able to pick him up when that announcement came out, and wow, this guy came through in a way that none of us could anticipate. If you look at what Hightower's done week 14, 28 touches, close to 15 standard points in his debut on the road against Tampa Bay. Last week, Detroit got ahead 28-3 in that ball game. So not the opportunities on the ground, but still was able to chip in a nice 85 all-purpose yards. And then this week, what a game for Timmy Hightower. A buck 22 on the ground, another 40-plus yards in the air. And then he gave you 2 rushing touchdowns. And I tell you, to get a waiver wire pickup, to get a running back in a year of the committee, a year where teams are passing the football 3 times from the 1-inch yard line, from an inch away, to be able to get a running back who can take over and give you a full workload on the tail end of the season and did wonders, and what a free agent pickup this guy is. Certainly one of the all-stars thus far in the fantasy playoffs. And been involved in that game, too. Another great waiver wire pickup. For those of you out there who got quarterback Blake Bortles, myself included, what a starting quarterback that it is that we got. And this guy has been really hot all season long. I think I picked him up maybe around week 4 or 5 when Eli Manning, who we'll get to a little bit later on, just too shaky for me, too erratic. I looked at Blake Bortles. Again, he was a guy that Carr and Andy Dalton and Tyrod Taylor, there's one other quarterback I mentioned. I know Carson Palmer was still available, but around week 3 or 4, we've seen about 3 to 5 quarterbacks who were really making it happen come off the board. And Blake Bortles was really the next guy in line when you looked at his stats, who was putting up the fantasy numbers. And so big day for him, 368 yards, 4 TDs, 2 interceptions. And once the Saints got up 21-0, I certainly felt great about what Blake Bortles was going to be able to do the rest of the game. I think we see it happen all the time in fantasy football. If your team, if the quarterback that you have on your roster is playing against a team and they get down 17-0, 21-0, at that point, you know pretty much the rest of the game, the defense is going to be playing a little bit softer. Your quarterback is pretty much going to be passing all game. And as long as he can keep the turnovers down, the numbers will add up. So Blake Bortles, amazing job by him. How about D'Angelo Williams coming in at number 4 this week? 27 standard points, and he got a huge break there. Was able to get his second touchdown after Pittsburgh unwisely. I know you fantasy owners have heard me go on and on about this all year, but Pittsburgh gets a first and goal from the 1-yard line, and what else do they want to do but try to throw a back shoulder pass to Antonio Brown that gets tipped. And Jimmy Smith runs it back 100 yards for a touchdown. Unfortunately, Courtney Upshaw was offside. And I should say, unfortunately, maybe for – I don't think anybody had the Ravens defense going yesterday. So, unfortunately for Ravens fans, that play had to come back. Pittsburgh wisely gave it to D'Angelo Williams on the next play. Took it in for a second rushing touchdown of the day. But D'Angelo Williams, 150 all-purpose yards, TDs. Good for 27 points by far. He's been the best handcuff, and he's been the best waiver wire pickup that you could find all season long. We're certainly getting to the tail end of the season, so we'll be giving out our year-end awards, but I don't think anybody is going to have qualms with D'Angelo Williams once again being by far the top handcuff at running back this year to Le'Veon Bell, putting up Le'Veon Bell or better type numbers. And certainly it's a guy that if you were able to get off the waiver wire again in a year of committees, in a year of passing from the 1-yard line, D'Angelo Williams is a guy that you've been able to stick in your lineup and play with confidence. He's really only had maybe one bad game at most since he's been in there. So a great job by him as well. Coming in next, Jordan Reed of the Washington Redskins. And this guy has certainly turned it on late in the season. He's really been consistent all year long. It's so funny, short story on Jordan Reed. So I drafted Kyle Rudolph at quarterback, at tight end early in the season. I thought that Teddy Bridgewater would be leaning on him a lot. It certainly looked like that in the preseason, in the short passing game, being able to utilize him because they really don't have much talent outside of Stephon Diggs at wide receiver. That did not work out. Picked up Jordan Reed because when I looked at the numbers, I said, my goodness, you know, Kirk Cousins, especially at the time without DeSean Jackson, really had to check the football down a lot. Cousins really doesn't have that big of an arm. And I noticed that Jordan Reed was getting a heavy dose of targets and putting up good numbers from the tight end position. Lo and behold, the 1 week that I get him, he fumbles the football, only 37 yards, gets injured. Warning sign for me. I said, you know what? He's got a history of being injured. I dropped him, rightfully so, for Delanie Walker. We all know how productive he's been. But Reed has been on the roll ever since. He was on the roll before I got him. So it's just funny to me how the 1 week that I got him, he underperforms, he fumbles, he gets injured. But before I got him and the rest of the season, including, again, the last 3 weeks, this guy, for sure, you are looking at being – a pro bowler, or I should say weeks. Look what he did against Chicago. Look what he did against Buffalo. Here he comes back this week, 7 for 129, 2 touchdowns, 24 standard points for Jordan Reed. And I tell you, for fantasy owners out there with him in your lineup, what value he provided for you, especially during your playoffs. Great job by Jordan Reed, coming in at 8 and 9, a couple big time wide receivers. We're talking about Brandon Marshall of the New York Jets. What a mid-round pickup this guy was. I don't know what else to say about Brandon Marshall, except he is an absolute beast. I forget the record, but I believe he became the first NFL player with maybe 6 or 7 years with over with 100 or more catches. Obviously, he's up over 100 yards, caught his 12th and 13th touchdown receptions of the year, and he's just a gamer. He's just a flat-out gamer. Great job by Brandon Marshall. Very impressive. A player that I certainly wish I could have had on my team. Seeing him stack up those huge numbers all year was enough to make me envious. A guy who I did have on my football team, fantasy team, on the other hand, and I'm talking about Julio Jones, the beast down south for the Atlanta Falcons. When fantasy owners were hitting me up during the week, we were talking about Julio Jones, and I just simply said this to him. He's going to be up to the challenge. I think seeing Odell Beckham Jr. last week attack Josh Norman certainly gave Julio, really not a boast of confidence, but I think it just showed that it takes that caliber of receiver to go at Josh Norman. And Odell Beckham Jr., who finished with 13 standard points last week, really should have been up in the 20s, dropped like a 50-yard touchdown on the first play of the game. But I just simply told owners, I said, look, in the first matchup, Julio Jones had 7 catches for 88 yards. The game's in Atlanta, rivalry game, potential upset in the making, although I did not think it would happen. But certainly that's a fierce rivalry down there in the South. And Julio Jones was going to be up to the challenge. And I just said, look, you paid money for the guy in your draft, probably your first or second pick. You got to put him on the field. Too talented, too dynamic of a player. And he showed it yesterday on that 70-yard touchdown reception, which I know pushed a lot of fantasy teams over the edge and into the win column. Simply went up over Luke Kelce and caught a football, ran it in, 70-yard TD. Outside of that 70-yarder, still had another 8 catches for 100 for another 110 yards, let's just say. And so Julio Jones now leading all receivers in receptions, in reception yards. That was his 8th touchdown on the season. Julio Jones giving owners everything they paid for, and you'd have to think next week home game. Again, this is a redemption game. If you recall earlier in the year, Atlanta went down to New Orleans, another very fierce. That rivalry is even more fierce than the rivalry with the Panthers. Atlanta went down to the Superdome, got embarrassed on Thursday Night Football. New Orleans coming to Atlanta, you can almost count on it. You've seen the New Orleans Saints defense once. You've seen it 1,000 times. No defense at all. Secondary completely in shambles. You're expecting Julio Jones to end this season as your top fantasy wide receiver and very well could be the top receiver in the NFL overall. Rounding out our top 10, it's kicker Blair Walsh of the Minnesota Vikings, just able to take advantage of the dominating performance that the Minnesota Vikings defense put out yesterday. Just getting all over Eli Manning. That New York Giants passing game is absolutely nothing without Odell Beckham Jr. Walsh able to capitalize on 5 field goals, one of them from 50 yards, also able to capitalize on 4 extra points, 23 points. And if you had the Cardinals defense special teams with Blair Walsh yesterday, you're talking about over 50 points on the back end of your lineup. That is great GM skills, and that is the type of numbers that you need in the fantasy playoffs to bring the championship home. And so those were your top 10 studs from week 16. I'm the NFL Exporter, champion another year. Once again, shouting out all my fantasy owners out there who won a championship this week. We're bringing the title home. Let's run to a quick break. When we come back, let's look at the quarterback position by far this week, probably the area where you're seeing the hugest disappointments. Don't go anywhere. We're taking a quick break. Don't forget the call-in number, 626-213-576. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Extra Points, the show that gives you expert fantasy advice for champions, and now you know that that statement is true. All right, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, thank you for coming back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. As always, I'm your host, Lance Goodman, a.k.a. the NFL Exporter from NFLExporter.com. Don't forget the call-in number to the show, 213-626-5762. Look, we just got through talking about your top 10 scores from week 16. Now let's get into the individual positions and look at what players performed at a high level, what guys did not come through the way that you needed them to. Talked about Kirk Cousins. Again, let's take a quick look at Kirk Cousins. And I think that now, looking at what he's been able to do over the last couple weeks, I think you can put him right in the category with the likes of a Alex Smith. And I think this year, Tyrod Taylor as well. When I talk about those players, talking about gaining trust. And I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to the quarterback position is gaining an owner's trust. You know, for the longest, let me not say for the longest, for the last 2 years prior to this season, Alex Smith, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, not a sexy pick at all. They're a team that certainly would prefer to win, kind of like they did yesterday, you know, 17-13. It's ugly. It's grinded out. We know that Andy Reid is not a guy who wants to push the football down the field. He's running that low budget, you know, dink and dump, West Coast offense. And Alex Smith was a guy who was a safe pick. Doesn't turn the football over. That's huge because most days he's going to get you a solid 15 to 18 points. And if he gets the right matchup, maybe if the game turns into a shootout, we've certainly seen that a couple years, and particularly playing against San Diego when Phillip Rivers and that offense was better, when Peyton Manning and that offense was better, Alex Smith was a guy on a good day, maybe get you a 20 to 25 points, but so hard to trust because the style of football. I think by now he's earned fantasy owners' trust just to the point that, look, when you have a tough matchup, when you have maybe a bye week, all you're really looking for, and that is how we did in fantasy football training camp, that's the way that we were looking at building our teams, were putting together a stout lineup, and then we knew the quarterback position is a position that any quarterback pretty much should be able to get 250 and two TDs unless the matchup is just horrible. So all you're really looking for in a standard format is a good 15 to 20-plus points weekly, and you let your big dogs, your running backs, your wide receivers, your flex players, again, it's key, right? Having the right defensive special teams and kicker, let those guys do the work, and let your quarterback get you the solid 15-plus points, and you're good to go. Looking at Kirk Cousins, his playoff performances, weeks 14, 15, and 16, 21 standard points, 35 standard points, 32 standard points, been over 300 yards plus in all three playoff matchups, 9 touchdowns, only 1 interception. I think by now Kirk Cousins has earned fantasy owners' trust, especially in the right matchups. He's going to be real intriguing seeing where he lands on the quarterback board, but did an amazing job just absolutely dismantling that Philadelphia secondary. And if we knew that he was going to come out, throw the football 46 times, they were just going to completely abandon the running game, then certainly our projections for him would have been a little bit higher. Let's look at Drew Brees now. Again, been money for you. Really the last month, you look at Drew Brees, 282, 3 TDs and interception against Carolina, 312, 2 TDs at Tampa, 341, 3 TDs last week at home against Detroit, 412, 3 TDs yesterday against Jacksonville. And I think his playoff schedule is the schedule that when owners drafted him, you were saying Drew Brees was a guy who was going to be money, and he certainly did that. Another quarterback up over 300 yards in all of your playoff rounds, a total of 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Drew Brees certainly getting a job done for fantasy owners. Very favorable matchup he had there at home against the Jacksonville secondary that we seen yesterday. Just had no idea what was going on. Drew Brees threading the needle, back shoulder passes, fade routes, long ball. He did it all. The quarterback he played against, another quarterback got the job done for you the last month of the season. And you can go all the way back to week 12 and look at the numbers that Blake Bortles has been picking up. A guy that when I looked at his playoff schedule, made him very, very attractive to me and other fantasy owners. But let's look at his numbers dating back to week 12. So if you needed to get in the playoffs in weeks 12 or 13, 329, two TDs against San Diego week 12, 322, five touchdowns, zero interceptions week 13. So if you needed to get in the playoffs, he certainly should have helped you get there. Then you look at his numbers in weeks 14, 15, and 16, 250, three TDs, a couple fumbles, but still good for 25 standard points against Indianapolis at home. Week 15 against Atlanta, 297, a touchdown and an interception, but chipped in a rushing touchdown for you. That's the other thing that makes Blake Bortles attractive, his ability to get outside the pocket and give you some extra yardage. And then yesterday, definitely got the job done for you at New Orleans on the road. Knew it was going to be a shootout. 368, four TDs, two interceptions, good for 28 standard points. So another quarterback who got the job done for you in your championship rounds. Another quarterback we're looking at coming in here who's hot. Coming in at number four, how about Ryan Fitzpatrick of the New York Jets? That's right. Who in the world thought coming into the season that Ryan Fitzpatrick of the New York Jets, and you know what, let's go ahead and put him in with Alex Smith, with Tyrod Taylor, and this year with Kirk Cousins. Let's now throw Ryan Fitzpatrick into that equation, a guy that you needed to develop and earn some trust with. And he certainly has done that game yesterday, 296 yards, three TDs, good for 22 standard points. And outside of last week at Dallas, where honestly, that's just a tough game on the road. We know the Cowboys defense playing much better this year to the tune that they went out to Buffalo in the cold yesterday and held that offense. I know Shady McCoy wasn't there, but held that offense to only one touchdown. And so when you look at, to two touchdowns, to 16 points, but my point being, Dallas was no easy out. But you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, another guy getting hot at the right time for you. Coming into week 11, he only had one 20-plus point standard game on his resume. You look at week 12 at home against Miami, that's when he got it rolling. 277, four TDs, good for 29 standard points. The next week, week 13, so again, you're looking at another quarterback that if you needed to get in the playoffs, produced at a high level, came back in week 13 at the Giants, 390 yards, two TDs. That was good for 25 standard points. Certainly handled business in a very favorable matchup at home. Week 14, I used them that week to get my fantasy playoff started. 263, three TDs, good for 24 standard points. Again, 14 points in week 15 at Dallas. Not what you need to win, but 299, a touchdown. You had to live with the interception. Then yesterday, again, 296, three TDs, good for 22 standard points. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, another quarterback who has earned owners' trust. Matthew Stafford, not surprised to see him here as well. He was a guy who really, in my opinion, had the most favorable playoff schedule out of anybody that I've seen. When you looked at the money rounds, week 15 at New Orleans, week 16 at home against San Francisco, now he didn't put up the lights out numbers maybe of Cousins, Breeze, or Bortles, but when you're looking at last week at New Orleans, he really took his foot off the gas pedal. 254, three TDs, good for 22 standard points. He pretty much had that at halftime. That hurt, though, because I had him in another league. I ended up losing by 30 points, and that's a league where completions and pretty much you get a point for everything. And when he had 219, three TDs in the first half, I'm saying, boy, I'm on my way to a five or six TD type game. But the game was 28-3 starting off the third quarter, and he just took his foot off the gas pedal. But certainly did not. When you have a favorable matchup, you can't kind of shrug off when the quarterback produces the way he could have, because he could have came out like some of these other quarterbacks we're going to be talking about here shortly. But Stafford, very efficient, 301. Two TDs, good for 22 standard points against at home against the San Francisco 49ers. Other quarterback, and again, here it's a high expectation. The standard is championships. The expectation is championships. The bar and standard is set very high here, okay? And when that is the case, when you're listening to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, in order for a quarterback to make our top list, you got to make at least 20 standard points. That's the expectation. And so the only other quarterback, it was that type of week at the quarterback position where you only had one, two, three, four, five. You only had six quarterbacks be able to get 20 or more standard points. And the last guy that we're adding to this list We thought this guy was out of football. How about Brandon Weeden of the Houston Texans? I'm pretty sure nobody, absolutely nobody, besides maybe his family members and friends, had this guy in their lineup. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was not impressed with this performance. They played at Tennessee. The Texans defense just jumped all over Zach Mettenberg. The Titans have no running game whatsoever. Their receivers are pretty much nobody. Kendall Wright, Doriel Beckham Green. I mean, you know, come on now. And the Texans just got all over them defensively, forcing fumbles, just giving Houston opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And Brandon Weeden was 15 of 24, 200 yards, two TDs, but no interceptions. But the reason I tell you that I wasn't impressed, and he had a rushing touchdown as well. So that's what really helped him at 21 points. You take that rushing touchdown off the board and the 11 yards, he's down to, what's that, minus seven. He's down to 14 standard points. So the reason I'm not impressed with this, his two touchdown passes, they were just jump balls. There was no, you know, threading the needle. He wasn't putting it right on the guy's hands. It was basically, hey, DeAndre Hopkins, just go deep. I'll throw it up to you. His ball, you know, when the defender turns his head, just lob it up. So I'm not buying into it. But Brandon Weeden was the other quarterback who gave you 20-plus standard points in fantasy football this week. Get to a couple guys right in the middle of the pack here. Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks, if it weren't for the two turnovers, he would have been right around 22 standard points. Gave you 289 yards, two TDs. The interception hurt. You know, Russell's always going to do some damage on the ground. Another 39 yards rushing, but he lost the fumble. So, again, I think all things considered, weather was very messy. And the bottom line is the St. Louis Rams, they just have the Seattle Seahawks number. They beat the Seahawks earlier in the year in the first game of the season. They go out to Seattle, and they beat them again. And their front four, really their defensive line, they just dominate that matchup. They make it extremely tough to run on. And Russell Wilson, that secondary, very talented and underrated for the Rams, know how to get the job done. So Russell Wilson, the 18 standard points, look, it could be much worse. That's the point I'm getting at. Maybe didn't give you the points that you expected, but Ashley Williams from Her Fantasy Football, we had her on the show last Monday. She told you, as Vance, one of the guys, one of your studs you wanted to be careful of was Russell Wilson at home against the Rams. She hit it on the head. I think it balanced out. I just said when me and Ashley were having that great discussion that I think that the matchup, which certainly didn't play to Seattle's favor, I thought this was a matchup that Seattle was going to dominate. When you're talking about Case Keenum and Kenny Britt and Brian Quick, you know, I thought that Seattle, a top five rushing defense, would stifle Gurley early, make it one-dimensional, and the opportunities would be aplenty. Kind of like what you've seen, how the Texans defense dominated the Titans yesterday and gave Weeden all the opportunities. I thought the same thing would hold true for Russell Wilson, but that did not happen. The other guy who got very, very lucky for you was Jameis Winston, quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was able to, on the last play of the game, get a Hail Mary pass to Austin Seferian Jenkins, and that helped push his numbers up to 18 points as well. You take that score off the board, was not the day that you wanted from Jameis Winston, who, like any other rookie, and certainly for Winston, he's been up and down, but they got to get a little bit more talent for him at the wide receiver position. He'll be absolutely fine. Now let's get to your duds. We're going to start with Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Inexcusable, unacceptable, not tolerated. I don't know how you come out against the Baltimore Ravens. Out of all teams in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken, the Giants and the Saints, the Ravens. Those are your worst secondaries in the NFL. And hell, we've got to throw in there now. Pathetic. You let Ryan Mallett come in there. You know what? Let me save that for the defense special teams segment. But my Lord, the Baltimore Ravens secondary is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And for Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers studs, besides D'Angelo Williams, they came out and laid an egg. And I'm going to tell you one or two things, and I'm going to talk about this on Facebook. I'm going to talk about it on Twitter. I'm looking at one or two scenarios taking place. Either A, they just completely overlooked the Ravens. And I don't know how you do that, because this is the one of the most fiercest rivalries going on in the NFL right now, especially because they're in the same division. in maybe for Pittsburgh, because it wasn't Ed Reed, it wasn't Ray Lewis, it wasn't, you know, Anquan Boldin, it wasn't Joe Flacco, you know, Terrell Suggs wasn't in this game. So I don't think the normal amount of trash talking, this game really wasn't built up. This is a game that people looked at on the schedule and just laughed and said, ha, Pittsburgh against the Ravens. Oh, good. The next game, blow out Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger, Banks. They're going to run all of, they're going to just run the score up on these guys. So I think that's what lulled Pittsburgh to sleep. Usually, Terrell Suggs is running his mouth all week. You know, Elmas Duberville is running his mouth. Steve Smith Sr. is running his mouth. Joe Flacco, the normal suspects weren't there for Baltimore. And the bottom line is Pittsburgh, who thankfully on my end, because I played against Martavius Bryant and Antonio Brown, thankfully the Pittsburgh Steelers sleptwalked through this game. Can you believe that Ben Roethlisberger didn't even throw a touchdown in this game? Ben Roethlisberger was held to 215 yards, two interceptions, four standard points. That's all Ben Roethlisberger gave you yesterday. Now, if it wasn't for that, then I'm looking at the effect that it had on daily fantasy football. And to me, when I look at this list of quarterbacks who underperform, I'll excuse Aaron Rodgers and Eli Manning because they ran in the death traps. But when I'm looking at Ben Roethlisberger, I'm looking at Tom Brady, I'm looking at Cam Newton, those guys did not show up. And again, I'm going to hedge my bet on what I just told you, that not daily fantasy football, but I think being able to understand, and that's something, that's an adjustment that I made last year. I had some really good guys on my team last year that I made it to the championship game. But what you have to understand about NFL football, which ties directly into fantasy, you've got to understand matchups. And late in the season, you've got these division games, teams very familiar with each other, a lot of bad blood. But those are the games where teams are most familiar with each other. And like that Baltimore Ravens game yesterday, look, for Baltimore, that was their Super Bowl. For Ryan Mallett, that was his audition. For Javorius Allen, he wants to be a starter for Baltimore last year. Look, you take Steve Smith Sr. off the equation, Baltimore has not one single proven wide receiver on that roster. So I think you had two completely different teams coming into that game yesterday. And in a nutshell, it doesn't explain Ben Roethlisberger's performance, because I don't know, I don't care what you say, to come out of there with 215, no TDs and two interceptions for four standard points, that's pathetic. And that is what we're talking about, the quarterback position. You cannot draft these quarterbacks so high, because when you need them most at the end of the season, when the weather's colder, injuries may take place, there's rivalry games, there are division games. You've got to be very careful. Now, obviously, nobody's seen that coming, but you can't tell me that Ben Roethlisberger, I have to believe, had to probably be the highest percentage of a quarterback picked up in daily fantasy sports, and they just cleaned up on that one because he did nothing for you. Another guy, and this is a guy that I think owners really, really, really seriously took advice from me this week and really thought about. And that was Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. And look, I'm going to tell you, I didn't just say flat out, look, just sit Rodgers. But what I did say is, look, and look, let's get one thing straight. He very well could have come out of that game yesterday with three TD passes. That game got very out of control, but there was a possession right before halftime where Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay had the football on a 10-yard line, and Davante Adams had another pass go right through his hands, which he should have caught, and that would have gave him two touchdowns on the day. That would have made the game a little closer. It would have actually made it 10-10, and I think that the game just continues to kind of flow a little better, and somewhere in the fold. See, I don't get so caught up on if the quarterback that I'm playing, his team is going to get down early. Again, to me, that bodes well. That means that the numbers are going to stack up one way or another, okay? But I certainly did not expect to see what I seen yesterday. And again, I wish that I could have personally driven out to Arizona and grabbed Aaron Rodgers out of that football game, because the Arizona Cardinals defense absolutely got all over him. Rodgers, very poor performance, 15 out of 28. Could only muster up 150 yards, one touchdown, an interception, lost two fumbles, only good for seven standard points. And if I think back to last year, Aaron Rodgers, week 15, playing against. Matter of fact, you know what? That, I apologize. That was championship week. Exactly what I'm talking about. Week 16, playing at Tampa Bay, all Aaron Rodgers could do for you last year was 300 yards and one TD. Those are not the numbers that you need to win a championship. And so for the second straight year, we're looking at these long list of quarterbacks who are not performing when you need them most. That's why the value is very tricky. You want these guys to perform for you in weeks 1 through 12 but not be there in the playoffs, or do you want the quarterbacks who are going to perform when the money's on the line? That's the key. But, again, I think by now we all see the struggles of the Green Bay Packers. Their receivers flat out cannot get open. Their offensive line is in shambles, and it took a dominant defense like Arizona to really, really expose these guys. I think we've seen it earlier in the year, though. We talked about the Denver Broncos earlier. Aaron Rodgers went out to Denver and had the same exact thing happen. Eli Manning, this guy here. I tell you, you know, if you were on the Facebook page, if you've been listening to the Extra Points all year, if you go to NFLExporter.com, which had a headline, by the way, telling you last week that Eli Manning was heading for trouble, if you're with me on Twitter, you've heard me say all year long, I don't trust Eli Manning. He's very erratic. He's very inconsistent. I know what his overall numbers say. I believe he's got 30-plus TD passes. Pretty sure he's close to 3,500 to 4,000 yards. I go by what I see weekly. And because I had Eli Manning on my fantasy team to start the year, I watched that team very, very closely. And the one thing you've consistently heard me say all year is this. All they have is Odell Beckham Jr. It's like a broken record. Like, I can't wait till I get a TV show with producers and stuff like that so I can just run back clips of things I've said throughout the season. The New York Giants and Eli Manning, they have one receiver, one threat in the passing game, and that's Odell Beckham Jr. The rest of those guys are some bums. Reuben Randall, this guy is lazy as can be. I mean, how can you be working opposite Odell Beckham Jr.? You should be getting 70 yards and a TD pretty much every week the way they roll coverage to him. Lazy. Lazy. I've seen this guy dropping passes all year. And the thing that really told me a lot about Reuben Randall in the game against the Dallas Cowboys in New York earlier this year, that the Giants, who, by the way, needed like five turnovers to barely eat by Dallas with Brandon Wheaton, that quarterback, or was it Kafler at the time, whoever the bum was. But my point being is, Reuben Randall caught a pass on the sideline, about a 40-yarder, had nothing but green ahead of him, a safety was approaching, and he just opted to just run out of bounds. Lazy. It's not going to get it done. And shouting out my guy, Eagle Mike, I'm sorry, man. We talked a little bit. He hit me up right before the game, and I just said, man, look, you are rolling the dice with Eli Manning. He's a guy I don't trust. He's inconsistent. He's erratic. And we don't remember what Eli Manning is like without Odell Beckham Jr. And it showed yesterday. I mean, couldn't do nothing. 234, three TDs. It's just a travesty, a joke. This Eli Manning, they got to get some better talent. Like I said, if teams are able to take Odell Beckham Jr. away, then you've got a quarterback who can't do anything for you. Another subpar effort yesterday, and where I'm shouting out my guy, Greg LaFortune. He does the top starts and sits weekly on NFLExporter.com. Another great guy over there on our great Facebook page. He told you flat out, Tyrod Taylor was a player that you wanted to think about sitting this week. I mentioned it to you as well. Dallas Cowboys defense was no pushover this year. Surprisingly, their defense is playing very well. And Tyrod Taylor yesterday came out of there with no touchdown passes at all. If it weren't for the 67 rushing yards that he had yesterday, you're talking about a quarterback who came out of there with 5 points. And so Tyrod Taylor, very risky, did not get the job done. Tom Brady, and I'm going to tell you honestly, I'm not surprised. Now, look, Tommy Guns is the one guy out of all these guys I'm going through right now. Because I'm not excusing Ben Roethlisberger. He's a great quarterback, but I'm not excusing him. Tom Brady is the guy who I will certainly give the benefit of the doubt because he's playing with a makeshift offensive line, but there was no Julian Edelman. There was no Danny Amendola. We know he lost Deion Lewis and also no LeGarrette Blount. And pretty much when you look at how the Jets matched up with the Patriots in the first game, if it wasn't for Brandon Marshall dropping – This wasn't a bobble or defense was close. No, Brandon Marshall flat out dropped a touchdown that probably would have gave the Jets a win in their first matchup, which New England barely ended up beating the Jets 30-20. It was 23-20 before Gronk scored at the end of the game. But the Jets played Tom Brady and the Patriots very, very close. And you know what this brings back to mind? Last year, week 16, I had Rob Gronkowski. They played at the New York Jets. It was a very favorable game for the Patriots with Geno Smith at quarterback and Rex Ryan, and in particular the Jets defense, again, very familiar with Tom Brady and the Patriots. You have to factor in weather. And bottom line is yesterday, Rob Gronkowski was really the only threat on the field. Brandon LaFell is not going to beat you with his speed. This Calvin Martin kid is still learning the ropes. And that sums it up. There was really nobody else on the field. I mean, James White out of the backfield, who ended up catching a touchdown to tie the game. But I'll give Brady the benefit of the doubt, because when you look at the Jets' defense, the way that their defensive line was able to get pressure on Brady. And again, this I kind of jumped off site, but last year I had Rob Gronkowski, championship game, it's week 16. Gronk had 30 yards receiving and a touchdown. And so I'm not shocked when a year later they're playing the Jets in New York again, and the Jets playing for their season. Their lives are on the line. That defense very confident. You heard Darrelle Revis speaking earlier in the week saying that he thought that, you know, his time with New England last year would certainly bode well in helping out the New York Jets this season or this week in that matchup. And so long story short, Tom Brady was in trouble yesterday. He was constantly under duress. He gave you 231 in the TD. You certainly may expect one more, but I can understand Tom Brady struggling yesterday because he struggled last year against the Jets as well. Real quickly, Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers. And I think because he had been performing at such a high level, and let's face it, for many of us, when he lost Kelvin Benjamin, coming into the season, I think that's the Cam Newton and the Carolina offense that we anticipated seeing. I think Carolina, they just missed Jonathan Stewart. He's been out a couple weeks with a foot injury. That was another key loss for fantasy owners. But again, this was a rivalry game. That's plain and simple. Carolina and Atlanta, and then Carolina had thumped Atlanta pretty bad. If you think back to last year, 41-14 to win that division in Atlanta, come back this year, 38-0 to Carolina. It's all about momentum. And, again, look, it was a very close game. It's not like Matt Ryan just outperformed Cam Newton by that much. Cam Newton had 13 standard points. Matt Ryan only had 14. So by no means was this some huge showcase on one end or the other. You take away the spectacular catch by Julio Jones, you got yourself a 13-13 ball game. And so Cam Newton, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt as well. He's played at such a high level. I think he raised the bar much higher than what we expected. And then he just started rolling off all these great games. It became an expectation. So I think that's why the letdown for him was so much more, especially after the great game he had last week. But look, the Falcons were hungry. At that point, everybody's looking to stop an undefeated season. And just had a bad game. I mean, when you perform at the level that Cam Newton has, you win 14 straight games. You certainly can understand it. Look, they're human. Carolina just didn't show up yesterday. That's the reality of the situation. A couple other quarterbacks maybe didn't give you what you were looking for. We're talking about Derek Carr, Phillip Rivers, both of those guys, only one TD pass and what appeared to be a favorable matchup. But it was rainy. It was wet. You recall back to Thursday, I certainly told owners, be careful, because with it being wet, more than anything, it's going to affect the passing game. And then Carson Palmer, 16 standard points, you'll take it. Another guy, I think, who had such monster games. When you only get 16 standard, you certainly come away disappointed, but he really didn't need to do much. Again, Carolina's defense just absolutely dominated that game. You got a guy like David Johnson now giving you the balance on the ground. And so 265, two TDs, an interception. Much better. I'm quite sure you'll take that than the 4 points that Ben Roethlisberger have. Look, we're just going to take a really quick commercial break. When we come back, let's jump over to the running back position. Finally, a week where the running backs were able to do their thing. Again, in a year dominated by committees and passing on third and inches. It's the NFL Explorer. You're listening to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. We'll be right back to talk running back, so don't go anywhere. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. Once again, as always, I'm your host, the NFL Exporter, Lance Goodman from NFLExporter.com. Make sure you get with me on Facebook.com/NFLExporter. That is NFLExporter. I am shouting out everybody on that Facebook page, and I'm shouting out our first annual NFL Exporter Facebook Fantasy Leagues, the War Zone, Killer Instinct, and Guts and Glory. And I know for a fact, those owners in the War Zone, those owners in Killer Instinct, they're in the midst of their semifinal rounds, and the winners are going to be advancing to the championship next week. But in our Big Money League, our Guts and Glory League, it's down to the replacements and the party rockers. And I'm telling you, these leagues, if you're a fantasy football owner and you want to get in some real competition, get in the NFL Exporter Facebook leagues, okay? These owners are from all over the country and went hard this year. The competition was fierce, and I think it's only fitting in that Big Money Guts and Glory League. It's coming down to tonight. We've got an owner that is up, I want to say, 5 points, and their opponent, who is down by 12.5 points, they have kicker Brandon McManus going tonight. So you want to talk about a huge Monday night football game. I know those owners are going to, faces are going to be glued to the TV as one owner is looking for Brandon McManus to come up short, while the other owner, like the name of this show, is looking for 13 extra points to bring home the championship. So great job by all of those owners who participated in the first annual NFL Exporter Facebook Leagues. Now, let's hop over to the running back position. Your stud of the week, Tim Hightower, great game. 30 total touches, that was good for 169 all-purpose yards, 2 touchdowns, and the matchup was there. I tell you, I was a little leery. I thought that if the game got into a shootout passing-wise, I thought that potentially, like last week, if the Jags were the team to get up early in that game, that due to Hightower, he's a good receiver out the backfield, but Travis Kadet, who we've seen come in his first game yesterday and catch a huge touchdown out of the backfield. I was worried about Hightower getting phased out, but I'm happy that the way that that game flow went, which allowed him, like in week 14 against Tampa Bay, to get upwards of 25 touches, and that is certainly a trending pattern that we've seen in fantasy football this year. That if you're a running back and you're getting that type of volume, you could be a guy who was working at Burger King yesterday, and you're going to be able to come in and produce. So great job by Hightower, who, again, one of the best late-season waiver wire pickups that you could find. We talked about D'Angelo Williams, 17 carries for 100 yards on the ground, 2 TDs, caught all 6 of his targets for another 53 yards. That was good for 27 points. And you're looking at what D'Angelo Williams has been able to do for you since week 12 in standard format. 16 in week 12, 14 in week 13, 20 in week 14, 11 last week, 27 in week 16. What a handcuff and waiver wire pickup Mr. D'Angelo Williams has been. Perfect offense, I think, for all of us, just seeing what he did ending out his career or his days in Carolina. He's just like a reborn person and a great pickup. Nice job by him. Frankie Gore. And I'm going to tell you right now, I had one, maybe two, but for the most part, I had one owner, and that was it. You know, for all of us in championship week, we were all sitting back trying to figure out who was the right person to put in the lineup. And Frank Gore, amongst maybe an owner who had maybe 4 backs that he was trying to juggle, we talked about Frank Gore, and I'll be interested to see if he went with him. I just said, look, maybe it's the law of averages. Frank Gore, like any other talented player, if they have 3 or 4 bad games in a row, it's just the law of averages. If the guy's talented enough, at some point he's going to have a good game. It's going to work back in his favor. And that's what you're seeing out of Frank Gore yesterday. And I think the one thing that I certainly missed, and that's what's so important about football, it's really about looking behind the numbers. How could we forget Frank Gore went to the University of Miami? He was back in his hometown. He was back at the place where he spent his college days. And so his motivation and his effort was up much higher maybe than any other, maybe just any regular game. 15 carries, 85 yards, two touchdowns, also had two catches for 10 yards. That was good for 21 points. But I think even if you take the touchdowns away, you know, that's what we hadn't been getting from Frank Gore. I think that was the expectation. We all know how the Colts offense has just completely crumbled and fell apart this year. But when you were looking at very good, you know, who are the top running back that you wanted to stick at your RB2, you figured with Andrew Luck and that high-flying offense, Frank Gore was the guy who, if nothing else, was going to get a nice, you know, 15 to 18 carries weekly. That should be a nice 75 yards. And, you know, at least every other week, a goal line, red zone type touchdowns were in the cards for him. So I think what he did yesterday is what we envisioned. And, again, he probably lost owner's trust. You look at what Frank Gore had done in prior weeks. Man, outside of 14.5, so probably just did not really have a lot of owner's trust. But if you had no choice, if you wanted to roll the dice, you were going to go the law of averages amount, or you just felt good about the matchup, Frank Gore came through for you in a major way, and I'd have to assume that the timing couldn't be better. Your 4 and 5 running backs, you're looking at the Minnesota Vikings backfield. Jerick McKinnon, 7 carries, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns. That was good for 20 points. Adrian Peterson, before McKinnon getting in there, getting his money, 22 carries, 104 yards, and a TD. And I do know for a fact, which he also had 15 yards on a reception out of the backfield, I do know for a fact that Adrian Peterson performance broke or made a lot of fantasy owners championships. There's no doubt about it, but AP was able to really get through his matchups in a good way. I think that really shows you the tale of the tape with AP. You know, at home against Seattle, 1 point, came back, gave you double digits the next week against a very tough Arizona run defense, which we all seen yesterday. Hurt his ankle last week, still gave you 63 yards on 18 carries, but last night, those 100 yards and that TD certainly is what owners needed, and the reason why Adrian Peterson, along with Le'Veon Bell, was kind of the number one consensus pick in fantasy draft this year. How about Charles Sims, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And I'll tell you this much, if the Tampa Bay Bucs decide not to re-sign Doug Martin, Charles Sims is going to take a huge leap up the running back charts this year. He did a great job. Let's take a look real quick at Charles Sims. I just want to take a look. On the year, to be a backup, that was his fifth double-digit game of the year. I see another 3 games where he's up over 70 all-purpose yards. He excels. He's great out the backfield. And that's the one thing you heard about Charles Sims last year when he came around late after suffering that ankle injury, missed the majority of the year. But when he came back late in the season, that's all you were hearing about was how good this guy is out of the backfield. Yesterday, able to give you 117 all-purpose yards and a touchdown, a receiving one, a nice 50-yarder. And so Charles Sims, great job by him. Again, another guy, I think, in a week where your money was on the line, probably didn't lean his way, but in deeper leagues, if you had a hunch, you know, maybe you knew something that I didn't, good flex appeal, Charles Sims got the job done. David Johnson, running back, Arizona Cardinals. He's a man amongst boys. Have any of you guys seen this dude's stature? Like, his head is just, it just looks like a bunch of boulders stacked on top of each other. Like, his physical stature, especially to be a rookie. I mean, can you imagine this guy in the offseason now when he probably, you know, loses maybe about 5 or 8 pounds of fat, you know, really, really bulks up or gets even stronger, gets faster. I think he's a top 10 running back coming into next season, no question. Ever since he became a starter, his 4 straight game, double digits, and he's another guy that you can list in there right with Tim Hightower. And again, you can find him on the NFL Exporter website. Go to the fantasy football page. We had that posted since he took over in week 13. And ladies and gentlemen, you've got yourself a workhorse at running back. How important is that? That running back position is so important, having the guy who's going to get the full workload and took advantage again. And I think that's the versatility that you like about David Johnson. He only had 9 carries for 39 yards and a rushing touchdown. But again, the game was so far out of hand. But when you look at what he did in the year, 3 catches for 88 yards. That's the value you're looking for. This young man showing the versatility, and I'd be shocked if he's not the starting running back for the Cardinals coming into next year. Latavius Murray, nice job by him. 19 carries for 79 yards and a touchdown. Also, due to the weather, more than anything, I think, was able to get 5 receptions for 38 yards. That was good for 17. for 16 standard points. And again, for a mid-level running back, a guy who we talked a lot about with Chris Ivory and Lamar Miller and Frank Gore and Justin Forsett and Alfred Morris and some of those guys right in that particular mold. Latavius Murray, I think he has not lived up to expectation, but he certainly has not failed. And great job, again, in championship week to get 16 standard points for him. That's certainly what you were looking for. Getting a little pressed for time because I know everybody wants to be right in front of the TV screen when that game kicks off. Let's press through a little faster here. I'm going to tell you a guy who, and I'll be the first to admit, that I overlooked. I did not think this guy had any value at all. This is Mike Gillisley of the Buffalo Bills. 9 carries for 93 yards. Now, granted, that 50-yarder came pretty much at the end of the game when Dallas' defense was tired, changed the pace back. But he was not somebody I mentioned as a top waiver wire pickup. I thought Carlos Williams was going to be the guy getting a full workload, and he did get that. But, Williams had 17 carries for 76 yards and a touchdown. So, Gillisley, the Bills still wanted to run the football, got advantage of his 9 carries. And, again, that 50-yarder for a touchdown really helped his cause out. Probably not a lot of owners, though. Again, this was money on the line. Probably not a guy you had in your lineup. Another guy you probably didn't have in your lineup based on matchup, based on a top 10 Steelers run D, based on Ryan Mallett being that quarterback. Javorius Allen of the Baltimore Ravens, 18 carries, 79 yards, a touchdown, 5 catches for 35 yards. And again, another guy, another rookie, who, like David Johnson, I'm not saying, comparing them, but well, I think when you look at Justin Forsett, you look at Javorius Allen, I'm going to be very surprised if Javorius Allen isn't the top running back for the Ravens next year. And a guy who I'm thinking is going to be, right in that top, let's say, let me take the word top out, but I think he's going to be a running back who's ranked somewhere between 15 to 20. And all things considered, in a Mark Trestman offense, you see he's got a nice set of hands off the backfield. Ravens not a ton of weapons. He's probably a guy going to have a lot of value last year. So nice job by Javorius Allen, who, let's face it, look, all things considered, certainly did a nice, solid job for you. Waiver wire pickup, played well against the Dolphins, played well against the Browns, certainly against the Chiefs and the Seahawks, had a tough outing, but was able to round it out. And I think for any owner, 3 out of 5 games, which is pretty much what you've got out of your studs, you'll certainly take that. Eddie Lacy, 28-yard TD reception, saved him from a very mediocre day. Devonta Freeman, I think all things considered, you're looking at 90 all-purpose yards and a touchdown at home against Atlanta, against Carolina. You'll take that. Isaiah Crowell, 16 carries, 88 yards for a touchdown. Gurley, great job by Todd Gurley passing his test. Went on a drought, but got back on track against Tampa Bay and Detroit at home. I think we all thought this was a death trap for Todd Gurley going out to Seattle, a top-5 defense against the run, Case Keenum at quarterback. But the way that the Rams defense dominated, and I think that's the name of the game. When the Rams defense can dominate, it keeps the game close. It allows for Gurley to continue to get the carries, 19 carries, 85 yards, a touchdown. Great job by him. Rashard Jennings, Kadeem Carey, who I'm going to point out, 2 touchdowns. And so if you had Matt Forte yesterday, you got to be hurt by that, because those are touchdowns that at least one of those Forte should have got. But Kadeem Carey, the guy getting touchdown, 2 touchdowns yesterday, only 17 yards, but those 2 touchdowns helped him get 13 points. Carlos Williams has been a mainstay all year. Great play in place of Shady McCoy yesterday. Got in the end zone yet again. Lamar Miller got saved from a bad day, 67 all-purpose yards, was able to get in the end zone to help him to 12. Travaris Cadet, we mentioned him, his first game with New Orleans, taking over for C.J. Spiller. He'll be out of New Orleans next year. 3 catches, 69 yards, a TD. That was good for 12 points. Danny Woodhead, Donald Brown, DeMarco Murray all chipped in double digits as well. When you look at the running backs who did not show up for you yesterday, Amir Abdullah, 3 points. You thought that facing a San Francisco run defense in Detroit, ranked pretty much dead last in the NFL against the run. You thought Abdullah was a great matchup, but putting the football on the ground again, got him on the bench, not able to come through how you'd expect. Shane Vereen, very inconsistent. Giants not able to use him the way that New England can. And to me, there's no reason for it. You play that game without Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday, how in the world do you not look to get some matchups with Shane Vereen out of the backfield? He can even line up at wide receiver. So I think the Giants, I think that this coaching staff, they're in trouble. They do not know what they're doing. Chris Ivory, 3 points yesterday, not going to get the job done. It's been a major disappointment. You're looking at what he's been doing as of late. Got off to a hot start. Maybe that bruising running style catching up. But to be completely honest, you're looking at Ivory, only one-digit, double-digit game in his last four. Again, another guy I faced yesterday. Happy he had an off game. Bilal Powell is just playing better football than him right now. There was certainly some expectation for Cameron Artis Payne. Only 5 carries. For 49 yards. So the only is the 5 carries. To get 49 yards on 5 carries, I think if he could have ran the football some more, he could have done some more damage for you. Some other guys with some low numbers that you certainly didn't expect. Sharkhandrick West of the Kansas City Chiefs, he was a major disappointment. You're facing, again, a run defense like the 49ers that really struggles. You're at home. You expect for the Chiefs defense to dominate. I will say this, time of possession played a lot into that because Cleveland came out of halftime and Johnny Manziel put together a 12-minute drive, basically the whole third quarter. So that played into it, but was only able to convert 14 carries in the 62 yards. I think the thing that's shocking, he did only have one reception. And I think he's a guy that we all kind of felt had some value in PPR. Brandon Bolden, 9 carries, 30 yards. He continues to underwhelm. Has really been a disappointement off the waiver wire considering what LeGarrette Blount was doing. Doug Martin, football on the ground 2 times again yesterday, dropping him down from 10 to 6 points. Denard Robinson, only 7 points again. Another guy I faced yesterday, very glad he didn't do well. We talked about Matt Forte. Look, he gave you 74 all-purpose yards, but getting Jack for those touchdowns really hurt his value. And then James White, luckily, was able to get a receiving touchdown, or he would have damn near put up a dud for you. All right, look, let's run to another quick commercial break. When we come back, it'll be more extra points with the NFL Exporter. We're talking wide receivers, and we're getting ready for Monday Night Football. Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals, you're listening to the Fantasy Football Show that gives you expert fantasy advice for champions. We'll be right back. All right, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, welcome back to the Extra Points. And I apologize. The correct call-in number to the show is 626-213-5762. I apologize. I had been saying 213-626. Got a little mixed up there. Give me a little bit of a break. I was not on the air last Thursday for the holiday, so I do apologize. But the call-in number to the show is 626-213-5762. We're going to go ahead and press through. Kickoff is right on the verge. And again, I know that everybody wants to be front and center. Demaryius Thomas, Ronnie Hillman, CJ Anderson, Emmanuel Sanders. Certainly, you know, maybe Brock Osweiler, AJ Green, Jeremy Hill, Gio Bernard. Certainly Brandon McManus was a hot topic this week. I think in this one, though, with backup quarterbacks, Denver's defense, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, those had to be the guys. And Brandon McManus, who I'm thinking were the likeliest to be played the most. Looking at your top wide receivers, we've already talked about Brandon Marshall. We've already talked about Julio Jones. How about the Allen and Allen brothers once again back at you? Blake Bortles' favorite two receivers added again. Allen Hurns, 8 catches, 106, 2 TDs on 10 targets, good for 22 points. Right behind them, the other Allen, 6 catches, 151 yards, a TD, including a huge 90-yarder that really bust the game open for me. I was playing against Drew Brees. He was off to a hot start. My opponent got within 5, and that play pushed my lead out from 5 up to 17, really gave me some extra cushion I needed. But Allen Robinson, this guy is an absolute monster. Another player who's just, he's just been on fire. I'm looking at Allen Robinson, and you are talking about since week 5, including week 5, he's had double digits every single game except week 14. That's amazing. That you're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 out of his last 11 games. He's pumping in double digits, and he's a beast. I don't think next year there's going to be any question about it. The Allen brothers down in Jacksonville won't be any secret at all. When you seen that matchup against New Orleans defense, you were just jumping for joy knowing that those guys had no chance at covering Hearns and Robinson. How about Brandon Cooks of the New Orleans Saints? This guy certainly turned it on late. He's a guy that I had to cut ties with early. We'll take a quick look at how his season started. 4-6-7-2, absolutely not. And out of his first, 7 games, only one double-digit game. And that was not going to cut it for me. And I had to just cut ties with Brandon Cooks. But certainly, since the second half of the season started, I'm looking at 6 out of his last 8, he's been in double digits. And he's racking up the touchdowns. And he's a big play guy. He's got 3 out of his last 4 games, 100 yards. And just a great job by Brandon Cooks and Drew Brees getting on the same page. Cooks showed huge flashes last year. Showed huge flashes in the preseason, and he's a big play guy. That's the one thing that you like about Brandon Cooks. Reminds me a lot of DeSean Jackson, where it doesn't take much, a blink of an eye, a 60-yard TD, and you got 12 points on a board in no time at all. Doug Baldwin continues to garner the targets, found the end zone again. I think it was to his chagrin. I looked at Russell Wilson yesterday. I don't know what they have going on, aside from it being a good combination. Don't get me wrong. But I just seen Russell Wilson pretty much just staring down Doug Baldwin yesterday. I mean, I don't know if they were trying to continue to go for a record or what they have going on. But nonetheless, for Doug Baldwin owners, myself included, I'll take 8-for-118 in a touchdown against a very tough Rams defense that was good for 17 points. DeAndre Hopkins back on the map, 7-for-117, 11 targets. We all know how talented he is, and as long as he continues to get those targets, and we've seen it on this touchdown, he's a guy like Julio Jones, like, you know, Demaryius Thomas, you know, Calvin in his heyday, you know, some of these elite receivers just throw the football up. Allen Robinson, he falls in that same category, and they'll go up and get it. That is what they're talented at. Put that ball up in the air, a la like a Brandon Marshall. These guys know how to go and get it. Jordan Matthews, surprisingly, and he's a guy who by far, when I'm looking at his numbers, he went through a stretch of 7 out of 8 games. He went single digits. And when I talk single digits, I'm talking about low. 4, 5, 4, 3 points, 1 point, 2 point, 1 point. That is not going to get it done. But I think this week against Washington, you can understand. Their secondary is still the weakness of that team. 6-for-104 and a touchdown. That was good for 16 points. The week before against Arizona, I think that was the surprise. 8-for-159, a touchdown, 21 points. I'm pretty sure a lot of owners, based on matchup, and rightfully so, look what Arizona did yesterday, probably had him on the bench. So I don't know if Jordan Matthews is a guy who had owners trust enough to play him one of the last 2 weeks, but he put up 35 points in the last 2 weeks. And I know if you lost, especially by a small margin with him on the bench, you got to be saying, thanks a lot, Jordan. Where the hell were you all year long? Some other receivers touching double digits for you yesterday, or I should say this week, Pierre Garçon Saturday night got in on the action from Kirk Cousins in those 46 passing attempts, 7-for-80, a touchdown. That was good for 14 points. I don't think any of us knew Pierre Garçon was going to get 12 targets. Reuben Randall, 2 catches, 80 yards, a touchdown. That was good for 14 points. I guess that's kind of my point to you, that with Odell Beckham Jr. out of the lineup, he only comes away with 2 catches. If it wasn't for that long touchdown, then he done nothing for you. So owners did grab him to replace ODB. Those 14 points, you're not complaining. You're going to take it, especially with Beckham Jr. out the lineup. But Reuben Randall, to me, is just an underachiever. I'm sorry. Dontrell Inman, 8 catches for 82 yards on 13 targets. Nice game by him. He was another sleeper brought to you by Ashley Williams from Her Fantasy Football last week. Stepped in, did an excellent job. Calvin Johnson on an ankle that wasn't 100%. You'll take 77 yards, 6 catches, especially on a PPR note. Dig in the end zone. That was good for 13 points. Michael Floyd of the Arizona Cardinals, 6-for-111. That was good for 11 points. Jarvis Landry, 7-for-111. That was good for 11 points as well. And then Nate Washington, Kenny Britt, Jeremy Maclin, Eric Decker, none of those guys stacking big yards, all 40 yards or better. Excuse me, I should say all somewhere between 40 to 49 yards, but all got a touchdown to help them to get to double digits. Now let's quickly take a look at the players who did not come through for you in week 16 when you needed them most. Looking at some wide receivers here, and excuse me a moment while the board pulls up. Let's take a look real quick and look at some receivers who just did not show up for you. We told you how risky Stephon Diggs was after a gate game last week. The main thing I told you was those two touchdowns that he had, only on four targets, just does not get enough targets. That kid is super talented. Maybe him and Bridgewater get together in the offseason. I think he's going to have a lot of value coming in the next year, but it was just too risky. Another guy, Amari Cooper, only three targets. To me, that explains the 1 point. I don't know what type of defense they were playing, but anytime that you're the number one receiver for your team, and again, it's not about the numbers. It's about the targets. It's extremely disappointing when you've got a top receiver giving you three targets. Randall Cobb, what's happened to him? My God, I did not think that Jordy Nelson was really helping Randall Cobb's value production that much, but that's what it is. Randall Cobb, only three catches for 15 yards? Absolutely not. 1 point. Brandon LaFell, we told you the matchup was bad. Got stuck on Revis Island. He's still stuck there, only one catch for 19 yards. Eddie Royal, I think without Alshon Jeffrey playing, against a Tampa Bay secondary that's not playing too well. But I guess Lovie Smith playing his old team had his guys motivated, but he was only five catches for 21 yards. Tyler Lockett, only three for 33, caught a concussion. I think that threw him off a little bit. Maybe that's why Russell Wilson kind of paid him so much attention, but he did garner seven targets. You do still have to feel good about that. Devonta Adams, I think we're all done with him dropping another touchdown. That kid's confidence is just shot. Hopefully A-Rod and the troops can pull him together in the offseason. A couple other wide receivers who had expectations but just couldn't do anything for you yesterday. Give me a second here as the screen, I had to move screens here, and this thing loads back up. Some other wide receivers who just didn't show up for you yesterday. We are talking about Marcus Wheaton, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, I thought with so much attention that Baltimore potentially was going to be paying to Antonio Brown and Martavius Bryant, Wheaton would have a nice game. Three catches, 41 yards. That's not going to get it done. DeSean Jackson, a bit of a surprise here. Maybe Philadelphia just did not want their former teammate to get off on him yet again. I think he had burnt him for touchdowns in three straight games since going to Washington. 46 pass attempts by Kirk Cousins. Jackson, only six targets. That only produced 40 yards, and I think that's a bit of a disappointment there. Golden Tate as well, only four for 59. You're figuring in a home game, the way he had been on fire against the 49ers, great matchup, but maybe the 49ers seen the film over the last couple weeks and pay him a little bit more attention. Mike Evans, four catches, 61 yards. You certainly were expecting better than that. Not sure if owners had trust in T.Y. Hilton. He can only give you another subpar performance with four catches for 64 yards. And then I think John Brown, a disappointment as well. Only four targets. He did get in the end zone, so at least he was able to get you 8 points. But again, I think game flow more than anything to that. If that could have got into a shootout between Rodgers and Palmer, you know, his numbers would have been more. And then another guy I think that stands out here, Sammy Watkins. Look, you're going to respect 5 for 84. And let's give Watkins credit. Let's pull him up real quick. After a very slow and dismal start to the season, he's gotten on track, and he had four straight games. 14-plus fantasy points. So we're going to give Sammy Watkins the benefit of the doubt. We'll take 5 for 84 any day. Let's go ahead and move back over to the tight end position right now because, again, it's almost game time, and we just want to make sure that everybody can be front and center. Your top tight ends in fantasy football for week 16, and I apologize. The other board, please, fellas. We accidentally got defensive special teams. Your top tight ends for week 16 in fantasy football, and I don't recall a lot of huge performances, so we're probably going to push through this list very quickly. Jordan Reed, we know the damage that he's done. Again, he by far is your MVP at the tight end position for the fantasy playoffs. Outstanding game, 9 for 129, two TDs. After him, it was Vance McDonald. I think he got lost in the shuffle, but certainly if Blaine Gabbert's going to be at quarterback, these two guys are connected. I won't spend much time now, but Vance McDonald, a solid waiver pickup. Again, probably not a guy you looked at in a week where you needed money, but I'm telling you now, him and Blaine Gabbert have been on the same page. Austin Seferian Jenkins needed that Hail Mary to push his numbers up to 12. Kyle Rudolph, again, just too low volume for me. Only three targets. Luckily, one of them he got in the end zone. Two catches, 53 yards. I'm really disappointed by his output this year. Zach Ertz, nobody seen that coming. Garnered 17 targets. The first time all year. 13 for 122. That's really been the theme of my year when it comes to tight ends and wide receivers. If a guy is getting volume, if he's getting the targets, he's going to produce. Zach Ertz, 17 targets, 13 for 122. Anybody who had him in PPR, that was a great play for you this week. Travis Kelce, the only other tight end to get double digits this week, six catches, 43 yards, was able to get a TD. Rob Gronkowski was respectable with four catches. For 86 yards. Outside of that, it was quiet. Delanie Walker, only 5 points. The thing you like about Delanie Walker, though, nine catches, 59 yards. So in PPR, he continued to be great for you. He had 15 targets, ladies and gentlemen. And that was the one thing that I told somebody to ask me about Calvin Johnson or Delanie Walker. I said, look, if Calvin Johnson is healthy, then obviously you're going to play him at home against San Francisco. Very favorable matchup. But the one thing that you do know about Delanie Walker, and if you were to go to NFLExplorer.com and click on the fantasy football page, go back to week 13 or 14. I can't remember which week we put it up there. But when you scroll down to trends and patterns, what did you see highlighted in bold? Titans tight end, Delanie Walker gets the targets. And that's the bottom line with this guy. And so despite nine catches for 59 yards, he got that on 15 targets. And those targets came from Zach Mettenberg, the backup quarterback. Again, he's way more effective with the precision passing of Marcus Mariota being in there. Certainly a couple guys who were disappointments. Greg Olsen, only four catches, 40 yards. Gary Barnage, I think we knew the matchup wasn't there for him. Three catches for 47 yards. Outside of that, your fantasy tight ends are what they are this week. A couple of defense and special teams that we want to certainly shout out outside of the Arizona Cardinals and their dominating performance at home for 35 points. Houston Texans, great play. Shouting out my brother Aaron Turner, Mr. All-Time. Grabbed the Texans off the waiver wire this week. What a smart move that was. You knew going to play Tennessee with their season on the line, they're really pushing to get in the playoffs. You knew that J.J. Watt was going to bring the ruckus, his hand a little bit better, and they just absolutely stifled that Titans team, who has no talent, let's face it, on offense, besides Delanie Walker, and I do like the progress I'm seeing out of rookie receiver Doriel Beckham Green. They just don't have anything. And so great job by Houston dominating them. The one we didn't see coming, but we'll certainly be paying attention to moving forward, that Rams defense special teams got all over Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, even though it was in Seattle, got a fumble recovery for a touchdown to help bolster them to 17 points. The Vikings defense got all over Eli Manning, had a pick six, almost had another pick six. Guy stepped out right around the 2-yard line. That was good for 16 points. The Redskins took full advantage of the Philadelphia team. They just stumbled. I don't even want to talk about the Eagles. Redskins, 14 standard points. D'Angelo Hall taking a fumble by DeMarco Murray to end his horrible season in Philly. Hall, if nothing else in his career, he's always Johnny on time for a free, easy touchdown. The Colts defense were able to go out and stifle Ryan Tannehill and that mess, if you want to call it that, of an offense out in Miami. That was good for 12 points. Defenses who did not show up for you yesterday, which were a disgrace, or this week, the Eagles -4, the Giants -3, the Steelers with 0. Ridiculous. But I think more than anything, you're looking at Seattle being a huge disappointment, as well as the Panthers. Those are defenses, I think, in particularly out of anybody, you're expecting the Seattle Seahawks at home playing Case Keenum to get you some big-time money, and for those guys to come out of there with 2 points, it's inexcusable. And then last but not least, let's talk a couple kickers. I'm going to talk about the Steelers on the Facebook page. I really want to get into them because it's inexcusable how you're letting Ryan Mallett, a guy who was sitting on his couch eating cereal last week, you let this guy come out and torch him, and it's just bad game planning. I didn't see any blitzing. I didn't see anything whatsoever that Pittsburgh really wanted to go attack this guy. He sat back there, threw the football 41 times, and all Pittsburgh could get was 1 sack and no turnovers. Makes no sense. Real quick, we only had 5 double-digit kickers. Those, again, this is big money here. When you're listening to the Extra Points, a show, and a guy who's about championships, especially in the championship rounds. You need big money. Single digits is not what it's about. Blair Walsh, we talked about his 23 points. Robbie Gould was good for Chicago. Matt Prater was good for 14 with Detroit. Nick Novak was good for 10 for Houston. Justin Tucker was good for 10 for Houston. Look, I'm out of here. I'm the NFL Exporter. Make sure to get with me on Facebook.com. NFL Exporter is the website. Wishing everybody best of luck in your championship matchups. I'm out of here. 1100. Time is up. Win your championships, Denver and Cincinnati. Let's go.